Thank you, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You've had quite in the past few weeks. John Brito came here nearly a month ago. What he spoke basically wrapped up all the things we were trying to say for the best part of maybe a year or two. And he ministered to us powerfully. Many were touched by the Holy Spirit. Ministry time. Amen. Deacon Paul ministered, and my friend or family friend from England, Charles Ross, he was very impressed, so he blessed us. He says he has heard many, many sermons. Jacob's Well is one whereby many sermons fall flat, but Deacon Paul's one did not fall flat, so he was blessed all the way from England. Amen. Then Mervyn Walton was here last week. Moses Young. Before that was Mervyn Walton. We were in Kapit at the time. So I missed it. So I think he said something like, BM Grace basically has been sort of inundated with knowledge. Received plenty. Just go and bear fruit. Bear fruit. Amen. Bear fruit. I think at the end of Galatians chapter 5, after Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit, I'm not able to quote exactly, it's for those who have believed in Jesus Christ, they have crucified their flesh. In other words, because you believe, your own man is already dead. Don't try to kill him. He's already dead. Bear fruit. Bear fruit. Yield to Jesus and bear fruit. Amen. Hallelujah. And of course, Moses Young last Sunday. You know, God is very good. He is very precise. He doesn't fail. It takes a visiting, little-known evangelist, come prophet, come teacher, come everything else in the bag, a good friend of Aliang. And the first thing he says was a rebuke to our church. Do you notice that? Don't be late. Your elder doesn't scold you so often. But God is merciful. He's also consistent. A visiting speaker that nobody has really heard of, a local prophet, says don't be late. Because you've come to seek Him. We ask God to be present. We must also be present for His presence. Amen. Amen. That would be fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. Amen. Well, this week you have Mila. Praise the Lord. I think 2 years ago, there were some of the leaders, they got together, they were very kind. In celebration of my birthday, they carved a wooden plaque. And it goes something like this. Believe and do greater things. Because of John 14, verse 12. Alright, so let's say you got that. Okay. By the anointing of the Holy Spirit, obviously. Today, you'll be mostly teaching. There will be Bible verses, but don't fear the quantity of Bible verses. They are familiar Bible verses. When you see them, if you mark your Bible, highlight it, if you're using a device, you can underscore it, text, put some colors over it, whatever it is. In other words, don't just let it go by, because you will forget. All right. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to... Are these words of faith? Huh? Eh? Quite a lot of people here, eh? Are these words of faith from Jesus himself? He is believing something, right? He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes, who's that? Right. This is not a teaser. This is important. Because later on, I will try to deal with unbelief. All right? So what I'm trying to get at is this. This is not a teaser, although we like people to say amen and all, it feels good. But there is an undertone that we're not too familiar, and then we miss it. We want His word today. We want His revelation today. Maybe today He is saying something, but we are not saying amen. We have not included ourselves in His word. We have not allowed His prophecy to direct us. Amen. Hallelujah. If these are words of faith, do you think Jesus has supplied the grace? Has He given us the help? Because I go to my Father. Amen. I want us to not miss this one. Because if we want the kingdom to manifest, we want the kingdom to manifest through us, this has to manifest. We're not robots. We're not chairs. If we want the kingdom to manifest, it manifests through us, through people. That we preach the gospel of the kingdom. We teach, we minister like Him. Hence, this ministry, this expectation involves all. You might say, I don't think I can. Well, have faith, believe, let the Holy Spirit direct, and continue in your relationship with Him, allowing yourself to be included. All right. A bit strong? Okay, we're at home, ba. Right. Now, what I will provide verses to support what I say. If I say Jesus came as man, He ministered under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then I will provide verses to show us that truth, okay? So we will do a kind of bit of a slow walk through. This must be established, because if we don't get it established, we fail in our teaching. When we fail in our teaching, things don't happen. As this message begins to unpack, you see the reason why. Okay. Is there a next one? How do we get to the next one? Oh, sorry. Yep. Okay. Jesus left His God nature with Father and came as a man without sin. Agree? Fully God, fully man. But He left His God nature in heaven. So when He was here, He was fully man. But it doesn't mean He's not God. He just left His godly attributes, His power, His majesty, His glory. He left it behind and became vulnerable like one of us. This is important to understand for various reasons. The text is a bit small. John 17:4-5. Jesus in His high priestly prayer. John 17 is Jesus praying about unity, right? But in that long prayer, He says this, I have glorified You on the earth. Jesus talking to Father. I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work that You have given Me to do. I've been an obedient son. I came on a mission You sent Me. I have now finished it. I've kept the commission. I have glorified You. And now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself. So He is definitely putting Himself at equal, at par with Father. Am I correct? Glorify Me together with Yourself with the glory which I had with You before the world was. What do you think? Is he saying he is God? Amen? Amen. We must know our text. Glorify me, O Father, with the glory which I had with you before creation. He existed before creation. He is God. Amen. Next one. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Amen. The next verse is very popular. We quote it all the time. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Very well known. But know also the verse just before it tells us that he came just like us, was tempted in every way, but remained without sin. Hence, he qualified to be the Lamb of God, to die on our behalf. Amen. And so, as great high priests who have been through life like us, tempted in every way, yet found without sin, he became the perfect Lamb of God to die in our place. He is now the high priest of the order of Melchizedek. Hence, every offering that we have goes through him. Am I correct? All our prayers, everything goes through him. Whatever is imperfect, he makes perfect because he is the perfect high priest of the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Jesus died as a man on the cross. Again, the other group will say that he did not die, therefore he cannot die such a shameful death, and so on and so forth. That is man-made rubbish. The Bible is very explicit. He came as man. He had to come like one of us to save us. He came to save man. Every man and every woman. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Is it important that we have this in our mind? Let this mind be in you. Alright, in other words, don't get woolly-willy by somebody else. Don't let somebody pull something over your eye. Let this be plain and clear about Jesus Christ. Because he knew it. He, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. In other words, when he says he is God, like I read just now in John 17, he wasn't trying to steal God's glory. He was just stating a fact. Amen. So he can say he is God, because he is. Amen. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He deliberately did what he did to become a bondservant on an assignment in the likeness of men and be found in appearance as a man. Everybody saw him, touched him, ate with him, slept with him, traveled with him, joked with him, and so on. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. In other words, a mind of humility and servanthood unto the Lord, because so was Jesus Christ. But he did die, and he died. Amen. These are doctrinal, these are necessary. So parents, please do get yourselves well grounded in this so that you can help your children. Those of us who are older, uncles, aunties, also be mindful. Jesus ministered as a man, but was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. True or false? Give me the scripture, if you say it's true. So this is what teaching does. It lays it down. There is a thread which I'm following, and you find it all coming together. But mark your Bibles, mark your devices, because it's no point having a book. If you don't read it, or you read it, you forget where it is. mark these things down, all right? Because this is important. He ministered as a man, but was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Hence, when he said, to you who believe, the works I do, you will do also. Hence, what he is saying, you all men, being anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, you in the same manner do the works that I do. That is the inference. If he did the works as God and I'm not, I will not feel compelled or led to even try to bother. Because I disqualify. I'm not God. But if he's exactly like me and he died for me, and the way he ministered was under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and with power, the same Spirit, he says, I now go to my Father, I'm going to send the Spirit to you. That same Spirit is within me and upon me, hence I have a chance. I'm now going to try, because he spoke words of faith to me and to you to do those works, because he's going to give the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that he had to depend upon is the Spirit that was promised to us. Amen. You don't have to stand in front of a school in SMK Bintulu in front of 500 or 700 to be filled with anointing. All you need is you're a parent and you have a two-month-old baby and the baby is crying day and night and has a persistent fever. I think you want to be able to minister. Amen. Or some other, but you don't have to wait at that time to say, Holy Spirit, now come upon me. Come upon me. Quickly come upon me. Hey, we're not trying to get into a trance. You know? We're not trying to act like a medium. The Holy Spirit indwells me and the Holy Spirit comes upon me. And the surest way to understand and receive and be convinced that the Spirit comes upon you is to experience Pentecost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen. Again, I will invite all of us, if you do not yet speak in tongues, see Deacon Paul. He is very good. Amen. Because it is a promise. What he'll do is walk you through the promises, show you the scriptures, and pray with you, to share with you, that in hearing the word, may faith arise as you hear the words of God. Amen. And so receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Receive your personal Pentecost. This is powerful stuff. I don't know about you. In my business profession, I've come across the seasons and times. Everything goes wrong and everything is against you. You don't do anything deliberately wrong. Something happens and something happens and something happens. Either your bills are not paid and your cash flow is crumbling. Or something goes wrong in the contract or something goes wrong. But it's nothing to do with you. You are not the author of that trouble. But somebody else was the author. But somehow it comes to affect you. And now you have to bear the responsibility. I'll give you an example. Highland Towers, when it collapsed, what was that, 20, 30 years ago almost. When Highland Towers collapsed, I was the engineer for the chalets on top of Damai Beach Hotel. You know those fellas on the hill there? Hence, it was rumored, of course without substance, that because Highland Towers collapsed, all buildings on hilltops must now collapse. You know what I mean? That's the logic. It's ridiculous. There's no truth in it, but that's how people feel. Amen. And so there was a lot of pressure on me to double-check my design and so on. Worst case still, the geological map says the whole hill is massive sandstone. I mean, you don't have to understand this, but massive means what? Big, which means the whole hill is sandstone, massive sandstone. Sandstone means you cannot drive a pile. It's not as hard as granite, but it is hard enough. Amen? And what we're building up there is not a 20-story, not a very heavy structure. But it looks tall because of the long legs. But actually, it's very light. You understand? So when they found out that I didn't have piles, the pressure was worse. And so they wanted me as an engineer to be liable for this, that thing. And so I prayed. But I did not pray with my mind because my mind had a logjam. You understand? Because it was me against public opinion, against corporate managers, against directors of SEDC at the time, and so on and so forth. You know? And they have their associates, they have their experts. The best prayer I did was to pray in tongues. I'm giving this as an example to you. One morning, I don't know, 3 a.m. thereabouts, I woke up, cold sweat, and in front of me was a vision. A bull was charging, thought, I'm done. If that fellow hits me, I'm gone case. So I tried to say, Jesus. I struggled. Nothing came out. The mind says, say it. The voice did not yield. So whatever came out, I couldn't even hear myself. But obviously, it must be good enough. Because about this close, I think the image just went poof. And the whole atmosphere changed. The whole attitude changed. I got a phone call from the engineer in charge. And basically, I've been making recommendations. And this is what I wrote to the chairman of the SEDC at that time. Because of this tragedy at Highland Towers, and because of what's been covered in the news, people have this perception of instability and so on and so forth. Right? I've already proven, I've laid my all the engineering justifications and so forth, that it is safe. However, in order to allay public concern and fears, I recommend the SEDC be seen to be doing something and spend some money. And I recommended that they do a bit of a geological treatment, install soil netting, which is actually not necessary. They agreed. They thought it was a good plan. They spent an extra $2+ million. And on top of that, paid me fees. Amen. That's how it was overcome. The whole story is this, speaking tongues. The whole story has nothing to do with SEDC, nothing to do with slope stability, massive sandstone, whatever. Those are only parts of the story. The root of that testimony, the essence of it is speaking tongues. When the pressure hits up, you're lost for words, everything is against you, there's no way out. You engage in the spirit. Amen. You can still do the natural, you can still write letters, but that you have to do. All those natural things you have to do. You don't run into a cave and be a hermit. That is a failure. You face the problem straight on. You exercise your professionalism and you make your best judgment. But you engage in the spirit. Why? The devil wants to make sure that you are dead meat. He wants to ruin your reputation, wreck you up, break up your relationship, destroy confidence. He doesn't care. Hence, stand above all else. Stand against the wiles of the enemy. Amen. But also speak. Also speak. Amen. Oh, what a diversion. Jesus ministered as a man but was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Where do you find that? Acts chapter 10, Peter visiting Cornelius. Verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, what was the word which God sent? Preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Again, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Amen. He's not just God, whether capital G or big G. He is Lord of all. Finish. Superlative, inclusive, that's it. No comparison. He is Lord of all. That word you know. He's talking to Cornelius and this group. That word you know. Which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So what happened at Galilee when John preached and Jesus was there? The Holy Spirit came down. This is my son, well pleased. And so he then began his public ministry. Amen. He had no ministry before that. Hence, for us, we have no ministry per se before the Holy Spirit comes upon us. What was this word? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, is God with you? Prove it. Give us a verse. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. The Holy Spirit has been given to you as a guarantee. Amen. And so on and so forth. So God is with you. God is with me. Then this Holy Spirit that anointed him, what does it do? If we are to do the works of Jesus Christ, would the Holy Spirit have to also anoint us with power? It will have to be, right? How can we do the works of Jesus, which are words of faith from him, if the Holy Spirit shortchanges us? Edward, maybe not you, Lahore, not the same height, sorry. Jesus, 1 foot taller than you, so you're anointing 1 foot less. No such thing. Because when you come to healing or revelation or proclamation, there's no such thing as big or small. If it's the word of God, it is a word of God. Amen. Don't come late to church. It's the word of God. Be healed in Jesus' name. It's the word of God. Each having its own context. We who are inspired by the Holy Spirit need to have the ear to listen which is which. Where does the Bible say that Jesus is God, or I am God, worship me? Not a word of God. Reject it. Amen. Now, Jesus in Nazareth, he declared to his kampong folks, because he balik kampong, he was in Jordan, he was baptized. Those of you who are going to Israel next year, you see this. He was baptized, so he had to travel quite a few kilometers up a hill, right? And so he'll get to Nazareth. So he told his folks, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and so on and so forth, right? To preach the gospel. Amen. But what happened? They didn't believe, is what Mark says. Now, he could do no mighty work there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. In Acts chapter 10, just now, we read that the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus with power, right, to heal. But at Nazareth, he could do no mighty work there. Was the anointing still with him? The anointing remained with him, but he could not do any mighty work. Therefore, the reality is the anointing can be present, but works of the Holy Spirit absent. Rather unfortunate. But that is the reality. He could only lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. Now, B.M. Grace, you love me, I know, and I love you also. Alright? I'm going to follow this through with some definitions of what I want all of us to examine our hearts. Whether there is any unbelief. That doesn't make you bad, you know. Oh, I see you whisper, oh, I say, I mark your name, I've got unbelief. That's not the idea. It is something we inherit because we are human. We've been conditioned by our past. Within our family context, school context, church context. We're also influenced by culture context. We're influenced by what we read, social media, and so on and so forth. Plus, we're also influenced by the sin context, because none of us are perfect. So when I raise this, I'm not trying to finger anybody, you know, you failed, you passed. That's not the idea. But rather, my purpose is to highlight there is such a thing, and prayerfully, we get rid of it. Or we get rid of as much as possible. So that when the anointing is present, the mighty work flows. Rather than when the anointing is present, the mighty work cannot flow. Amen?